Hey, Larry, let me start by saying how your show has helped me keep it together during COVID. It has been anchoring and reduced my anxiety big time, so I thank you for that. My topic today is about mental health. I am a clinical psychologist, and I witness the mental health crisis in my practice every day. There are three factors currently driving mental health. One is technology, second is comfort is the new happy, and the third is blowing up of the Overton window. I mean by that we are losing the range of acceptable topics to talk about, and that is followed by a breakdown in social norms and social order. I spoke on what happens next 18 months ago. I used a swimming analogy. There are swimmers with different levels of competency. And if you add two 20-pound ankle weights, good swimmers can usually survive. But poor swimmers who normally struggle in ordinary conditions will really struggle or even drown. And the pandemic actually added heavy ankle weights for everyone, and it really took down those individuals with poor mental health. I want to define depression and anxiety. Depression is defined as feelings of despair, loneliness, helplessness that can result in sleep issues, physical pain, concentration issues, and loss in pleasurable activities, just general overall sadness. Anxiety is defined to be chronic worry. It's that sick to your feeling stomach, uncontrollable negative thinking, such as losing control, along with sleep symptoms, headaches, muscle tension. Anxiety certainly can contribute to overeating, things that we saw that get the social, the COVID-19, everybody gained 19 pounds over COVID. Both depression and anxiety decrease our physical activity and socialization. It encourages substance abuse and addiction problems. The comorbidity of addiction is often paired with depression and anxiety, which can make treatment even more challenging. Here is the good news. Anxiety and depression are actually down substantially from a year ago as the world has opened up, but it's still worse than pre-COVID levels. For kids, going back to school and spending time with their friends, it certainly was a game changer. However, late teens and young adults ages 18 to 29 have been hit the hardest with depression and anxiety, where individuals 65 and 70 who are ironically at the highest risk of dying from COVID did the best psychologically. The elderly were the most stable and best mentally prepared for the challenge. They were, in fact, our best swimmers. In my practice, substance abuse and addiction soar to unprecedented levels. All my clients who are sober and working their recovery program, most relapse, generally from alcohol and weed. During COVID, getting access to inpatient mental health and drug treatment wasn't available, which just made matters worse. Why were the 18 to 29-year-olds hit hardest from a mental health perspective? Well, this group has what I would describe as the fewest boundaries, the most opportunities, way more stimuli, and endless convenience and comforts. This age group lacks a long-term partner, a history of working, and could have significant financial challenges. And young people have way more pressure to succeed than our generation because of social media, because they see what most successful friends are doing right now in the best possible light. They are in a constant state of comparison, and it can be overwhelming to manage all that stimuli. It basically sucks. More young adults are living at home since the Great Depression, upwards of 50%. Getting your own place is expensive, and living at home makes sense for so many, especially because COVID, living by yourself, can be quite isolating and lonely. Certainly better to be at home with mom and the dog playing video games in the basement and getting a home-cooked meal. Technology has no boundaries. Social media, you name it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snap, gaming, and endless porn. These tools are soul-sucking. Technology is addictive. It's made to be addictive. It's sinister in terms of how it works. These apps are designed to keep us distracted and keep us hooked. We are all toast in that matter. It negatively affects our physical, psychological, and emotional health. More technology for anyone generally means less exercise, less sleep, and more eating. These apps activate dopamine, cannabinoid, endorphin, and serotonergic systems that are all geared towards addiction. The digital experience parallels weed or alcohol addiction as well as gambling. Some people can work it out. Many can't. So technology is a huge negative force on our mental health. Second big point is we have a comfort crisis. Our whole society is geared towards more comfort and convenience. It is bizarre. Actually, we spend more time with our kids, more activities, more sports. These kids are getting specialized skills and diverse experiences, but they're losing independence. They're not able to do things on their own, and we are extending adolescence. Kids have not learned how to deal with discomfort or even normal anxiety, like the basics, taking a test, giving a class presentation, forget about breaking up with a boyfriend. there is this comfort creep, which is we keep adding more pillows to protect and comfort us, but inadvertently develop less and less tolerance for any discomfort. We want to remove sadness, anxiety, or stress. Even what is considered normal, everyday, reasonable failure, anxiousness, or stress is rejected. The problem is pervasive. Kids go to college with higher levels of anxiety and depression than ever before. It is up over 80% for the past 15 years. My practice is filled with these kids because they struggle with self-soothing and coping skills to deal with comfort or stress. Third and final big point is the Overton window. The term originated to be what we can safely talk about in normal society, but I'm going to expand it to include basic social mores and how we treat each other. Those goalposts have moved and the Overton window has shifted. Trump gave us ship whole nation and the progressives gave us political correctness. Every slight or comment becomes extremely unsettling, creating feelings of anger and fear. And that's what my patients actually want to talk about. We are struggling to know what basic decency even means anymore.